You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 188. And today, let's talk about your fear of public speaking and how simple little things you can do are going to give you massive confidence the next time you share your message on stage. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact? Boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hey there, inspired entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's your host, Melanie Benson, profit amplifier to expertpreneurs. And if you haven't picked up on this yet, you probably will today. I am a huge fan of speaking on stages, both virtual and in person, to not just grow your business, but to really like make that impact that I think most of us really want to make. There's something magical about crafting a message, shaping it into a story, and inspiring someone to believe in themselves, to maybe do something they never believed they could before by sharing your message and your information on stage. And I've been speaking for 30 years now. I have to say it's gotten much better since I learned a lot of the things our guest is going to share today. As a matter of fact, just the other day, I was meeting someone for an Amplify audit, and he had been in my email community for 10 years, 11 years actually. And he said, I met you when you were speaking in Australia back in 2009. And he said, you know, there was a lot of interesting speakers, but you were the only speaker who actually made me believe I could accomplish something. He said, you really inspired me. And I've been following you ever since. That was a massive compliment. And I have to say, he finally was ready to take action. And when you speak, you will find that some people take immediate action. Some people might sit there for a long time and continue to let you inspire them until they're ready, and then they choose you. So I'm really excited to bring today's guest into our conversation, into the community. And before you jump in and listen to today's episode, I want to share a free resource from my toolbox, and it's the 17 mistakes that you might be making in your podcast guesting and virtual events that's costing you leads and clients. And you can get that at getmagneticmessaging.com/report. Here's why I want you to grab it today. We're talking about speaking from stages and virtual events, and this is all super. We genuinely need to know how to have the confidence to share our authentic message. However, when you go to a podcast environment or a virtual event where people can't see you, everything changes in the dynamics, in the messaging, in the way in which you structure and deliver to make sure that you're actually attracting potential clients and not just leave them with something interesting that they don't take action on. Look, if you're going to podcast guest, which is a really hot client attraction strategy, I want you to have all the tools in your toolbox to do it well. So make sure you go grab that at getmagneticmessaging.com/report. And when you do, I also want you to really follow through each and every one of the points I make and assess yourself. How well am I performing in this area, or am I making this mistake? The Get Magnetic Messaging is going to open up very soon for early enrollment, and I can help you shape the most powerful and the most compelling talks that you give on podcasts so that you're turning it into your best client attraction magnet. All right, now let's get into today's episode. So I don't know if you have a fear of public speaking, but I know a lot of people do. And you might get the butterflies when you think about getting on stage, or you may literally be holding yourself back from getting booked and taking advantage of the extraordinary connection you can create when you speak. Today, I've asked an amazing guest expert to come on and talk about how to get over and conquer those fears of public speaking and step into the spotlight with a lot more confidence, passion, and brilliance. Now, let me introduce you to my guest. Her name is Victoria Liozonski. I hope I got that right. If not, I will circle back and fix it. Victoria teaches introverted entrepreneurs and business professionals how to overcome their fear of public speaking and become confident, compelling, and captivating speakers. After moving to the U.S. 2 decades ago with very limited English, Victoria overcame her crippling fear of public speaking to build several businesses, teach in a variety of industries, and speak in front of both small and large audiences. And taking her own experiences, going from scared to being a sought-after speaker, Victoria founded the Brilliant Speakers Academy, which is an online public speaking coaching program specifically for introverts. So Victoria, thank you so much for joining me today. I love that you're coming from the introvert's perspective because we have a lot of introverts in our community.
Hi, Melanie. It's such an honor. I love your podcast and I'm thrilled to be here.
Oh, thank you. I so value all of these different perspectives and all these different superpowers that people have. And it's almost as if every single person in this community, and I think even beyond, we all have this superpower. And sometimes we don't have the confidence to get it out there. But yet when we do, and we really finally trust that we're supposed to get it out in a bigger way, then, you know, now we're impacting the lives of millions of people. And I know that's what you're doing with this gift of helping people get past those fears.
Yes. And my big belief is that public speaking is something that absolutely everyone can master. You know, I'm not one of those people who thinks that, oh, well, it's a talent. Actually, I used to think that. I used to think just that it's a talent. And if you don't have it, you don't have it. And you'll never be good at it. And it took me years and years to realize that public speaking is just a skill. And like any skill, it can be learned, it can be taught, it can be practiced, internalized, perfected. And so I see my mission is to help others who are like myself, who are introverted, who don't think that public speaking is their thing, who are scared, to overcome that fear and realize that you can be on the other side and you can not just speak confidently, but actually enjoy being in the spotlight.
Well, I think sometimes people, they see us after we've taken lots of training and had lots of experience and lots of mastery, and they think, how could that person have ever not been good at this? And I have to say my own story, and I want to hear your story too, but my own story is, when I was in college, very long time ago, I actually took a public speaking class and I was terrified. And I remember at the time, I'm massively introverted by nature, which surprises a lot of people. But I literally was stumbling over my words. I was so anxious. And this was standing in front of like 25 people, right? So, you know, contrast that. I took a lot of training. I went through a lot of different programs. I had a lot of different experience. I dared to suck for many years. I sucked at my first ones. What was it that got you from that introverted, scary, you know, like not being very good at being on stages and communicating from, you know, in this format to where you are today?
You know, it's interesting. I think a lot of your listeners expect me to say, oh, but I've practiced a lot. And the truth is that practicing is not the solution, which is completely and totally counterintuitive, right? My background is a little bit like yours in terms of I'm very much introverted and I was absolutely terrified of public speaking. In fact, not just terrified, I was in a position where I experienced a lot of trauma related to public speaking when I was very little. I was about 10 years old. I was asked, now that was back in the Soviet Union where I was growing up. I don't think this could have happened here. But back there, rules were a little different. And I was approached by somebody saying that, hey, we're going to have a concert today. It's about 1,000 people. And here is a poem that you are going to learn in the next few hours, and you're going to recite it from stage. Here you go. Good luck. And I'm 10 years old. I can't say no. I'm, you know, grabbing that poem going like, okay, I'm blessed with good memory. I know I can learn this. And I memorized it and I walked on that stage and it's dark and the lights are on me. And I see people in the audience, you know, kids and adults. And I am basically standing there completely frozen. My mind is blank, my heart is racing, my sweat is running down my back, and I don't remember a thing. And it's a poem, right? I can't like improvise or anything. I have to start from the beginning. And I could not remember it. And I finally remembered a couple of lines. And when I said them, I stopped because I realized they were the wrong lines. And now I'm really stuck. Everybody's giggling in the audience, right? And I'm just at the point where I can't take it anymore. So I ran off stage in tears. And after that, if even before that, I wasn't that crazy about public speaking. After that, I'm like, I'm done. Who needs this grief, right? I'll never, ever go in front of a microphone again. I just don't need to be embarrassed like this. I don't need my audience to laugh at me again. And truth is, I did keep my promise for quite a few years. But then I moved to the United States in my early 20s. And I'm going to totally date myself. That was like 25 years ago. And I started my first business, which was web development company. And back then, you couldn't hide behind, you know, a live stream behind the computer. You had to go out there if you wanted to build a business, right? You had to actually go in person and speak in front of potential clients and be in front of an audience live. And so, you know how everybody says, hey, just do it scared, right? And I'm like, well, I'll do it scared. I'll go and do it. And I did. And I sucked. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll just practice. I am determined. I'm courageous. I'm just, in spite of me being an introvert, I'm just going to try and get better at it. I'm going to take classes and stuff. And I continued going at it. But again, I wasn't getting better. In spite of all of my practicing, I was still miserable. I was still scared and I didn't enjoy it. You remember how it was in the beginning when you're like, not only I'm not getting better, I'm not enjoying it. And a lot of people find themselves in this spot. And so what helped me is that I realized that what I'm doing is completely wrong. I am focusing on completely wrong things. I keep on being focused on my fear. Every time I'm in front of the audience, I'm focused on my fear. I'm focused on the audience judging me. I'm focused on not being good enough, right? And instead, I should have focused, and that's what eventually I did. I should have focused on my audience and on being a giver. And that was the first step, and that started changing things for me.
Mm. I love that. I love that framework too, because I'm all about mindset, as you probably know, having listened to the podcast. And I think the mindset we go into anything with is going to have a huge impact on the energy we emit. So it makes perfect sense. You know what I was just thinking as you're talking too, there's another misnomer, and hopefully you're not going to talk about this in this way, but this misnomer that I think a lot of people try and are told is picture everybody in the audience in your underwear. I'm like, that didn't help either. Because now we're all naked and like sucking.
You see, so I have a theory where that advice came from. I think it came from the same people who are saying, fake it till you make it. Because we hear that advice, right? And I think it's a very similar advice. And that advice is, picture by picturing your audience in their underwear, you're not really focusing on your audience. You're trying to make fun of them in your mind, right? Or when you are faking till you're making it, you are not focusing on your audience. You're focusing on yourself showing up, appearing more confident that you are. I think what both of those advices are missing is a key ingredient. And that is a mindset ingredient. And that ingredient is no. Don't picture your audience in their underwear. Picture your audience just as they are, but not as a sea of strangers, but people who are just like you and me, just regular everyday people who are sitting there thinking their regular thoughts. They are, you know, dreaming about the same things. They're afraid of the same things. They have the same challenges. They're thinking what they're going to cook for dinner, and they're thinking why their kid cannot get a good grade in school. Picture those people as usual, normal, regular people, not a threatening audience that need to be in their underwear for you to be able to talk to them, but regular, normal people who you have the power to help in some way. And when you shift the focus away from you, because again, a lot of our focus when we're scared, we just keep on thinking, we're in that mind space where we're like, I am scared because I don't think I'm good enough. I'm scared because I think my audience is judging me, right? That's what we're thinking. My audience is judging me. They're going to find out I'm a fraud. They're going to find out I'm an imposter. I wonder what they're thinking. This is pretty much what's going through everybody's mind when they are in front of an audience. And that's the problem, because for as long as you're going to stay in that mind space where I am scared and I'm focused on my own fear, you can't reprogram your thoughts and start thinking about your audience in a way of how can I help them? What can I say to benefit them the most? How can I phrase what I'm saying in a way that's going to be the most inspiring, the most beneficial, the most impactful, right? And so that's a mindset shift. And so when you are staying in your fear, you can't do that. And as long as you stay in your fear, you're going to stay in your fear. Your body is going to continue producing symptoms of fear. You know, the racing heart, the sweat, the buckling knees, all of that. For as long as you're going to continue focusing on your fear, you're going to continue experiencing it. It's like a vicious circle. And the only way you can get out of that circle, if you shift the focus away from you to your audience. And when you're completely and totally focused on your audience and on giving to your audience, that's when you stop thinking about yourself. And as soon as you stop thinking about yourself, your fear symptoms begin to dissipate. So it's all mindset. Melanie, just like you know, it's all mindset.
That's so true. I'm thinking back to all the times where I was nervous or anxious, and it was really about like, am I going to do a good job? And you're right. As soon as you slide into that shift, like flipping that focus on how do I give them something that they can take away or like just be of service, like it really does change things. You know, we've been talking about, you know, what gets people anxious and where the fear comes from. But what do you think someone should focus on, the thing that they do want to do in order to create a great talk, whether it's on stage or, you know, on a virtual platform, like is going to be very popular for quite a few months, maybe even a year?
Yeah, definitely for the foreseeable future. I think what's going to make the most interesting, the most impactful talk is for you to focus on one thing. And that thing, that word is transformation. You can create the most educational talk. You know how whenever anybody starts thinking, okay, I need to create a talk, they do like this big brain dump and they think, okay, as long as I can tell my audience everything that I know, and I know a lot, they're going to walk away very happy and they're going to be, you know, they're going to remember me and they're going to feel fulfilled and inspired. But no, that's not what makes your audience really feel that they got something out of your talk and really remember your talk. If you think back, and I would encourage you to think back right now, think back to any talk, any presentation that you maybe watched on, I don't know, TED Talks that you watched on video, maybe something that you watched live. What do you remember? And I bet you what you're going to remember is that you walked away and you kept on thinking back. And you kept on thinking back and going like, wow, that was really, really true. That was really moving, or that was really impactful. And you keep on going back in your mind even days after, because you felt something during that talk that kind of changed you. And I don't remember who this quote is for, but it's basically something along the lines of, we forget what we are told, but we remember what we feel. So whenever you focus on delivering just educational value, you're missing the point. The point is to make your audience actually feel something. And this is where transformation comes in. So what you need to focus on is, how can you take your audience on a journey during your talk so that your audience actually gets, in a way, transformed from how they felt at the very beginning of your talk to how you want them to feel at the very end of your talk. And that audience's journey, that transformation, is what makes them leave inspired, what makes them leave thinking about you and what you said. And again, the way you do it is by being really laser focused, not only on the facts and all the information that you're providing, but on the actual feeling that you're trying to evoke. And in order to do that, you need to know how your audience feels in the beginning of your talk. You know, they may be anxious or scared or hopeful, and how you want to make them in the end of your talk. And maybe they are now ready to take action, and they're inspired and encouraged and courageous, and they want to go and, I don't know, if you're a health coach, go and throw away all the bad food from your fridge, right? But whatever it is that you're trying to make as far as the difference, you need to focus on that. So you focus on how they feel in the beginning of your talk, how they feel in the end of your talk, and how you can create that journey from that point A to point B. And what you want to do is you want to create a feeling by the end of your talk. And that's what's going to make them remember and really walk away feeling that they are inspired and ready to take action.
That's great advice. And there's a lot of strategies to do that. And I know you probably get into all that in some of your programs. But you know what I want to just kind of explore with you for a minute is, as you're talking, I was thinking about all of my clients over the years, and probably me too at some point, who you talked about like focusing on one thing. But I was wondering, what about the people who are trying to cover so many things in their talk, right? Yeah. And like, I was just imagining, you probably have seen this yourself, and that's hard to create a really transformational feeling when people are going a lot of different directions in what they're sharing or what they're teaching. What would you say to someone who's trying to conquer a lot of different subjects in one talk?
I think you most likely will miss the point when you are, and I know it's very challenging, and particularly when you're on stage, you have limited amount of time. And let's say you are coming in to do a 30-minute talk. And if you're trying, even if you're focused on transformation, if you're trying to cram too much, your audience will get overwhelmed. So it's always better to focus on a few key points and really nail them down so that by the end, your audience knows exactly what points you were making, versus do too much. And of course, in the online world, you have a lot of different options. If let's say you did have a lot of stuff you wanted to cram in. So let's say you were talking about, I don't know, living a healthy lifestyle as an example. I don't know anything about health industry, but I'll still give it as an example. So you were like, I want to create a talk about, I'm a health coach, I want to do a healthy lifestyle live stream. Well, look, healthy lifestyle is a lot of things. And if you try to cram all of those things in that 30-minute live stream, people will get overwhelmed. They're going to be just too many things. And you know, when we get overwhelmed, we don't do anything. So even if you gave them 10 points that they need to go and do, they'll probably do zero just because they'll be like, oh, way too much. I don't want to do it. So my recommendation, particularly with live streams, when you know you have the power to break things into smaller pieces, is why not create a series and do a whole week of healthy living. And on Monday, your focus is on, I don't know, active lifestyle, sports. And you focus on just that. And you give very specific takeaways. Just maybe 1, 2, 3 takeaways. That's homework. Literally homework for people to go and do. But because you're only focused on that, people remember. And then Tuesday, you're talking about, I don't know, maybe fruits and vegetables. I'm totally making it up, but you get the point. You want to focus on specific things and have very specific takeaways. And that if there are too many takeaways, people will get overwhelmed, will forget what you said, and won't take any action. And the only way to make them do some action that you want them to make is to really drill down to the most important things and have just a few of those as their ending, as a conclusion of your talk.
Yeah. And so what I took away from what you just said is we don't want our listener to be confused and overwhelmed. That's not the transformational feeling we're trying to activate. We want them to feel more confident, more powerful, more hopeful about whatever that thing is that you do, because that's what gets them into action.
Absolutely.
You know, I know people get caught up in a lot of the fear of making a mistake or doing something wrong. And especially in the beginning when they're really, you know, like learning these new skills. What advice would you have for someone who may be holding back from getting in front of audiences or getting on podcast interviews or virtual events or whatever that thing is for them, so that they're not letting fear hold them back from getting out there?
You know, the fear of making a mistake is a very powerful fear, and it's very real. I don't want to discount it and say, oh, that's nothing. No, it's everything. A lot of us are afraid to go out there, or, you know, to go and speak on stage, to go and be a guest on a podcast, or to go and record a live stream because of that fear. What if I make a mistake? And of course, the continuation of that is, if I make a mistake, my audience will think I'm stupid, not good enough, and now I've really made it bad. But here is the thing. Making a mistake is not that big of a deal. You know, if you think about it, even your favorite speakers or your favorite podcasters or your favorite, you know, I don't know, YouTube personalities, once in a while, they make a mistake. And does it ever cross your mind when you're listening to them that, oh my gosh, he made a mistake. Oh no, I'm not going to listen to him anymore. Of course not. Of course not. Because the thing is, if you make a mistake, but overall, your presentation, your live stream is really good, really, really valuable, then your audience most likely will like you more for your mistake than if you didn't make it. You know, I have a great example for you of somebody I was speaking with, and he is a professional public speaker. And he was talking to his audience, and somehow he got on some sort of a tangent, and he forgot where he was. He forgot where he started, and he got completely lost, like totally lost where he was supposed to go to. And so he's standing there in the middle of his speech, looking at his audience. He laughs and he says, hey guys, I need some help over here. Can you remind me where I was before I went into all of that explanation? And of course, the audience starts laughing and somebody tells him where he was. And then he continues going as if nothing happened. You see, that's a key. That's a key to you making a mistake. If you make a mistake and you fall apart, and you start apologizing about it, and you go like, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, you know, please don't think I don't know anything, because I really do, and I'm so sorry. If you go into any of that drama with your mistake, then you're really not going to be in a good space. But if you make a mistake, and this is something that your audience didn't even notice, you know, you forgot to, I was on my live stream today, okay, this morning, I was on my live stream, and I forgot to make a point that I wanted to make. And I realized it towards the end, and it was too late to insert it. And I was like, okay, whatever. And I just continued going. Did my audience even know that I missed the point? Of course not. They have no clue what I was going to say anyway, right? So if you're making a mistake that your audience doesn't know about, just continue going as if nothing happens. They won't notice. But if you make a mistake that's noticeable, right, like this guy who got stuck in the middle of his presentation and forgot where he was and had to have help of his audience, then laugh about it. Instead of falling apart, laugh about your mistake, fix it quickly, and keep on going as if nothing happened. And I can guarantee you, if that guy did not make a mistake and had that beautiful, perfect presentation, his audience would have liked him a little less than because he made his mistake. You know why? Because making that mistake made him human, right? All of a sudden, he's not this, oh my gosh, he's, you know, on stage. No, he's just human. And it made him so relatable and so real to those people. And they liked him more because of that. So don't be afraid of making the mistakes. Don't hide behind that fear, because it's not a real fear. It's just you trying to find an excuse not to step into the spotlight. But being afraid of a mistake is not a real fear, because even if you make a mistake, not a big deal.
I'm so glad you're talking about this, because I think that's the maybe a little known secret, or maybe it's the secret that everybody knows about. It's not a secret anymore, but literally it's like we all are going to make mistakes on stage. It's how you navigate them when they happen. All I could think about when you were talking was this hilarious moment. I was speaking in Australia, and even though it's an English speaking country, our slang, oftentimes our phraseology is very different. And I just remember this moment, and this is almost all our worst fear, when you look out into the audience and you're getting that deadpan stare and people look like they're not getting it. And, you know, I know for a lot of speakers, that's that moment of pure panic. It's like, oh no, they're not enjoying this. And so this whole audience, it's probably like 600 people, are looking at me like I'm crazy. And I said, I was talking about something about going to spas. We were talking about freedom. Mm-hmm. And they all looked at me and they said, what's a spa? Because they don't refer to it that way. So I thought they weren't like resonating. They're just confused by my slang. And it was a hilarious moment. And the laughter that came out of that was very blind. I had so many people by that day. I had so many people come up and talk to me. And I think that point is really true. Like, the more human we are, the more people bond with us, the less they feel like there's this perfection they're trying to reach and they can be themselves. And that's a know, like, and trust moment for a lot of our community, our listeners. And so it's really important to remember.
Absolutely. I would encourage you not to even think about making a mistake, because as Melanie just said, it's 100% guaranteed you will make a mistake. So don't worry about it, because you already know it's going to happen. And now just focus on how you are going to show up once it happens. And again, the less attention you pay to your mistake, you know, quickly fix it, keep on going, but don't forget to laugh at yourself, because that always works wonders. When you laugh, so when you make a mistake and you laugh at yourself instead of falling apart, your audience loves you for this.
Yeah. Oh, that could be a fun class on itself. The 10 most common mistakes speakers make while on stage and how to overcome them. Anyway, that's a side note. I would love it if you would share a resource for our listener to be able to learn more from you and go deeper with you. What would be a perfect place for them to start?
Well, I would love for you to do my free masterclass, which is on all about overcoming fear of public speaking and delivering a powerful presentation. And in it, I talk about 3 self-sabotaging mistakes that we all make, including me. I've made those. And I'm sure Melanie made those. Everybody makes them. And 4 steps to actually overcome your fear and deliver a powerful presentation. And you can get it on my website at www.byvictorial.com/4steps. 4 is number 4, steps.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And I really want to encourage you to take advantage of this gift that Victoria is sharing with us, because one of the little things that you can do that has such a huge impact is start to learn how to craft your talk, how to like deliver talks that inspire people. And so this is such a perfect opportunity to go deeper. And I will post that URL in the show notes in case you're scrambling to write it down or, you know, didn't get it to write it when you heard it. Victoria, would you take us back for a moment? I always like to get a little bit behind the scenes with my guests because you shared so many amazing insights. We talked a little bit about your journey of how to get where you are, but you're also a business owner and you've had different twists and turns and you've had your own evolution. I always think there's a moment that each of us has where we have to make a really bold decision that propels us forward. And I think it really amplifies our business. What was that bold decision for you?
I think my very first bold decision came actually many, many, many years ago, maybe 20 years or so ago. I was already living in the United States. I had a great job and something was missing. And you have to remember, I came from a different country. I had no idea how the whole entrepreneurship thing even works. I felt that I wanted to have my own business, but I didn't even know how to go about it. I had no clue how the whole thing works. I've never, ever even heard of anybody in my you know, family or close friends who started the business. But I felt that this is my path. I just knew this is my path. And I took a plunge and I actually started a business when I didn't know anything about businesses. When I was in my early 20s, I just came to the US. I started my first business, which was a web development company. And, you know, and between English still being so-so and economy being so-so and me not knowing anybody because I just moved to Colorado at the time, I still went for it. And I've learned everything about entrepreneurship over those few years that I was building that business. And I am actually so grateful that I risked it and I decided to do it because I feel like if there is something that you really, really want to do, you have to give it a shot. You just have to, because you don't want to have any regrets when you are 100 years old and you you realize that you've missed your boat. And so for any of you who are dreaming big, who are thinking of doing something incredible with your life, I would absolutely encourage you to go ahead and give it a shot and give it your everything, give it your best, because it doesn't matter if you're going to succeed in it or not, you will be forever grateful that you did it.
I love that your example isn't about it has to have a successful outcome. It's about being brave enough and courageous enough to take the leap. And it, you know, I know I've taken many leaps that didn't pay off over the years, but who I became and what I learned got me closer to where I wanted to be. And, you know, there's that little zigs and zags we have to take to course correct. But I know you probably look back from today at that moment and think, wow, I wouldn't be where I'm at today, even if maybe that first leap wasn't exactly where I was meant to land. And I think that's the mindset that so many people miss out on when the fear takes over. So I love that example so much, Victoria.
Thank you. I think it's about really believing that everything that we do in life is important for something that we're going to do down the road. And I know you feel this way. I know a lot of your guests feel this way, and I feel this way as well. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we do something that makes no sense, but we do it, and maybe we even fail, right? And we look back, and we're like, oh, why did I do that? And only 20 years later, all of a sudden, all of those pieces start falling together kind of into a big puzzle that's beginning to make sense. And you realize, oh, that mistake was so that I can do this today. And that failure was so that I could learn something that will help me today. And so I've built several businesses over the years, and I'm always looking back at that very first business, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I learned so much that's helping me today, now. So be brave, follow your dreams. Oh, as my favorite quote, go confidently in the direction of your dreams, live the life you imagined.
Love it. That's a great place to end. Thank you so much, Victoria. And please make sure that you take advantage of Victoria's really generous gift. Buy victorial.com/4steps. That's the number 4. And really like take advantage of learning how to deliver your message in a powerful way in front of any audience. Thanks, Victoria.
Thank you, Melanie. It's been a pleasure.
This is Melanie Benson, your host. Thanks so much for listening in today. If you want to catch up on any of the show notes and circle back on any of the resources we shared in today's show, head on over to the show page at amplifyyoursuccesspodcast.com. And remember, you amplify your results faster when you're in a community of other people who are moving and shaking. Join us at amplifyyoursuccesscommunity.com. One last thing. When you've gained insight from today's episode, help us share that and inspire other people by heading over to iTunes, subscribing, and give it a review. iTunes absolutely loves seeing these reviews pop up, and it actually helps boost my show's visibility. So I would be super grateful for your reviews. And as always, I love seeing your shares of these episodes on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Come find me over there. Tag me in your shares. I'll give you some social media love right back. So see you next week for another inspiring episode of Amplify Your Success Podcast.